Morning, church. I have the immense privilege to read from God's word for us. So we'll be reading from John 3:16-21. I'll give you a couple of seconds to find it in your Bibles or mobile devices, or please feel free to follow behind. So John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send him, his Son, into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not stand condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that is what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It is wonderful to see you all here, and I'm going to give you a title straight from the top: "The Light in the Darkness." Oops. The Light in the Darkness. I probably shouldn't say this, living in WA, but one of my favorite places is New South Wales, Darling Harbour, particularly on New Year's Eve. I heard that shout out. Particularly on New Year's Eve, when the cascade of fireworks lights up the night sky in a kaleidoscope of colors. But one of the reasons it's my favorite place is my very first trip to Australia was December 1998, and I spent New Year's Eve right there with friends at Darling Harbour, watching the fireworks in a spectacular technicolor. The light against the night sky was truly wonderful. If you were listening earlier to our reading in Luke chapter 2, there was this contrast of darkness and light. Shepherds were watching their flock by night, but the glory of the Lord was shining around them in angelic choir. There was a star in the night sky that led the wise men to the birthplace of Jesus. And so this morning, I hope that you will be somewhat delighted as you see the wonderful light against the backdrop of a deep darkness. And our scripture for this morning, a particular verse that I want to focus on, is John 3:19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Very simply this morning, I want to give you seven light-dark statements as we explore the light in the darkness. Here's the first. The light shows us that we are not alone in the darkness. The light shows us we are not alone in the darkness. I wonder if you remember the astonishing rescue of 12 teenage soccer boys and their assistant coach, who were rescued from a cave in northern Thailand back in 2018. They entered the cave on June 23rd. They were rescued on July 2nd. They were found almost 4 kilometers from the cave's mouth as they were hemmed in by the flood waters. There is a particular Netflix series that dramatizes what happened, but one of the most important moments was when the two British divers came up out of the water with a flashlight. And as the boys were huddled on the rock, they all began to shout and scream in joy because they saw the light. And they knew that as they had seen the light coming up out of the watery depths, they knew they were not alone or had not been forgotten. This morning, here at Christmas, you might actually find yourself in a place where you feel alone in the darkness. So many psychological reports today come out saying that so many people, whether young, old, or in the middle, have this great sense of feeling lonely. Though social media has exploded, there's an explosion of people who say they have no close friends. So many teenagers saying they feel this persistent feeling of hopelessness, sadness. Maybe that's even you this morning. You feel alone in your struggles, alone in your pain, alone in your marriage, alone in the darkness, alone in your singleness. There's an extraordinary verse at the end of Psalm 88 in the Old Testament that says, not there. Psalm 88, it says this, "You have taken from me my friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend." It is of great significance that the angels announced the birth of Jesus to shepherds at night in the darkness. Of all the people in the world to reveal the light to shepherds, to the lowly, the despised, the lonely shepherds. Jesus came to a people sitting in the darkness. He came to shepherds sitting at night watching their flocks. And Jesus, in his life on earth, was known as a friend of sinners, wasn't he? A friend of the despised, a friend of the rejected, a friend of the broken, a friend of the guilty, a friend of the outcast, a friend of the lonely. One of the great ironies of Christmas is that it can be a showcase of the superficial. Christmas lights, Christmas presents, Christmas trees, Christmas hams. But behind the superficiality, there is this deep, often sense of loneliness and abandonment. I think my screens are all out of sync. Anyway, we'll keep going. But in Matthew 1:23, it says this, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. You see, Jesus, the light, was born into the lonely darkness to show us that we're not alone. God is with us. Secondly, the light shows us the way home in the darkness. The light shows us the way home in the darkness. I don't know whether you know this, but there are supposedly more than 8,000 shipwrecks off the coastline of Australia. Most haven't been found. There are some 1,650 shipwrecks off the coastline of WA. There were 22 shipwrecks off Cape Leeuwin before the lighthouse was erected in 1896, and only one shipwreck since then. And you know what a lighthouse does, don't you? A lighthouse shines light in the darkness, saying this way to safety, this way home. Jesus Christ is the light showing us the way home, this way to safety, showing us where we came from, where we need to go back to. I think it is safe to say that for most people, whether they admit it or not, they live with some sort of awareness that something is missing in their lives. One of the biggest songs ever recorded was by the group U2, and the song was called "Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." And I read up on that song, and Bono said, he said, it's a song about looking for transcendence. It's about looking for something bigger than yourself, but not finding it. We are that human race, aren't we? Lost at sea in the darkness. Are people searching in the darkness, but we don't know where to go? We don't know the way out. We still don't know what we're looking for. Jesus is that light. It was the French philosopher Blaise Pascal said, it's like each human heart has been created with this gigantic hole in it. There's this great void, and all we're trying to do is figure out what we put into that hole. So when we're young, we look to fill it with friends and fun, maybe athletic success and sex. When we're a bit older, it becomes about marriage, family, career, financial stability. Some turn to illicit drugs and alcohol, but it's all just a quest to try and figure out why we're not happy. And we know it doesn't work. See, what we've been missing the whole time is the Father's arms stretched out to us wide, saying, I'm what you're looking for. It's the Father's arms saying, I've always been what you're looking for. Jesus is that light to the way home. Jesus is that light to the way home to the Father. This way to safety. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you see it? Jesus is the light that shows us the way home to the Father. The light shows us that we're not alone in the darkness. The light shows us the way home in the darkness. Number three, the light illuminates the darkness around and in us. One of the great things about light is not just that you can see what's in front of you, but you can see what's around you, and you can see everything else by it. Most of you have got some sort of phone. You might have the superior iPhone or the inferior Android. Any inferiorities out there? Okay, there we go. There's a few. Probably the most useful thing on your phone is what? Is that light. Now, at my home at night, I often have to go out the side door of our home down the alleyway. I need to go and find the retic box or something, or I don't know, get the washing off at night, whatever the case may be. It's pitch black. Can't see anything because there's no lights on the house. So one thing I do is I take up my phone, put on the light, and as I go out, I can see what's going on. I can see in front of me. I can see around me. I can see what's going on. We look at this world and we simply can't make sense of the darkness, can we? We can't make sense of the ongoing violence and abuse against women. That doesn't stop. We can't make sense of the wars that come and keep coming and keep coming and don't stop. We look at the darkness, we can't seem to make sense. Why do people do such ugly things continually to one another? Why do they hate? Why is there racism? Why is there murder? Why is there greed? Why is there fraud? Why is there hurt? Why is there lying? We can't make sense of the darkness, but if we stop long enough to face it, we can't seem to make sense of the darkness that is within us. And it's the light, Jesus, that comes into the darkness to show us what the darkness is like, to explain the darkness, but also to show us where the darkness comes from. Look what Jesus said. In Mark 7, he says, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, greed, adultery, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Jesus, the light, comes into the darkness and he shows us that the darkness around us is evil deeds, but he shows us where the darkness comes from. It comes from where? It comes from inside. It comes from inside a person. The darkness is around us and in us. An incredible quality about light is that it reveals imperfections. Back to my home, in our bedroom, we have a built-in wardrobe. It doesn't have a door, but it's got a fairly bright light. The one morning, I'm usually up a little bit earlier than my wife, is a Sunday morning, and I go into the sort of built-in wardrobe, and I want to take a shirt from the rack. Now, I go into the wardrobe. I don't want to put the light on. Hashtag world's greatest husband. I just want my wife to keep sleeping. I keep the light off. I take the shirt. I put it on. I then go into the bathroom where the light is. I close the door, hashtag world greatest husband, letting her sleep again. And there I put my white, nice white shirt on, and I stand in the light, and I stand in the light reflecting off the mirror, and there I see occasionally a stain. I couldn't see the stain in the darkness, but I could see it in the light. And you see, the stains of imperfections are not on our clothes. They're in our hearts. There is evil darkness around us. There is evil darkness in us. There is evil darkness in you. Jesus illuminates the darkness around us and in us. And so for that reason, number four, the darkness tried to extinguish the light. The darkness tried to extinguish the light. Have a look at our text again. This is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. I was back in South Africa in February this year, and I'm not sure if it's still going on. It probably is. South Africa goes through what they call extreme load shedding. And what happens in load shedding is that basically the government will just shut off all the electricity grids for 8 to 10, 12 hours. And so often at night. So you're sitting there, you're having dinner, you're reading a book, you're watching TV, when suddenly the grid goes down and you're suddenly plunged into utter darkness. They switch everything off. And that sudden feeling of being in the darkness is overwhelming. You see, the light comes into the world to expose the darkness around us and in us, and the darkness sought to extinguish the light. They wanted to shut him down, shut him off. And so they put him on a cross. So in Mark 15:33, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabbatani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The light was extinguished by the darkness. The darkness reigned for 3 hours. And the main reason why the darkness sought to extinguish the light then by putting Jesus on a cross, and the main reason today why the light is extinguished by people who keep on rejecting Jesus, is because the light exposes the darkness of our hearts and the imperfections therein. You see, Jesus is the purity of light in the sinful darkness. In him there was no sin, and the darkness cannot stand the light. So the darkness sought to extinguish the light by putting him on a cross. Here's the truth. You and I simply cannot stand being told we're not good enough for God. We can't stand it. We cannot stand being told we fall short of the glory of God. We cannot stand being told we're not good enough. We can't stand being told there is evil inside our hearts. We can't stand it to be told that we can't earn our way into glory. You see, people will come along to carols by the jetty in Busselton, 2,500 people, and they'll sing the old traditional hymn, "Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed, Angels Lowing, Baby Awakes," and all that sort of stuff. Kumbaya. But that baby has absolutely no bearing on your life. But a baby who grows up and by his perfect light shows our shameful darkness and then says to us, "Unless we believe in him, we will die in our sin." That baby is offensive. And we need to extinguish the light. Look at what Jesus said. He said, I've told you that you will die in your sins. Listen, these are the words of Jesus. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. And here's the thing. So if you and I were there 2,000 years ago, if we were there in the crowds when Jesus was being crucified, we'd be right there in the crowds. we'd be right there shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him," because the light exposes our darkness and we hate it. That's why. Do you remember what the angel said? In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, today, the angel's speaking to the shepherds. Today in the town of David, what has been born? A Savior. He is the Messiah, the Lord. A Savior from what? To save us from the darkness within. Do you remember what the angel said to Joseph? He will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their what? From their sins, from their darkness. So the light, the darkness tried to extinguish the light, but the good news is the darkness could not extinguish the light. It tried, but it couldn't do it. I'm sure you've had this experience, maybe as a child growing up, or maybe as an adult. Have your birthday, someone makes you a cake, or if they're lazy, they buy one from Coles, and they put candles on it, and they tell you to blow out the candles, and you blow out the candles, and then what happens? It comes back on. So you blow it again, and the candle goes out, and it comes back on, and so it goes on, and so it goes on. It's quite frustrating, right? In the world, try to blow out the candle. They try to blow out the light. But they couldn't do it. The light came back on. Because in Luke chapter 24, it says this: on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they'd entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were still wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, these women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's arisen. He's risen. The light has come back on." Angels of light appear again in Luke, this time not at the birth of the Messiah, but at the resurrection of the light. The darkness couldn't put out the light. The light came into the darkness, but came up out of the grave to show us that the darkness could not overcome the light. You understand, the darkness doesn't win. Darkness will not be forever. Because Jesus, the light, has conquered the darkness by rising in resurrected light from the dead. Our darkness went into him. Jesus, the very brightness of God's glory, the very brilliance of God's perfections, he became our darkness. On him was laid our darkness. On him was laid our sin, and he died. The light was reduced to a corpse on a bloody cross. Temporarily, the light went out as he was laid in the grave. But even the grave could not contain the power of light. On the third day at dawn, as the sun rose, the light walked out into the light of dawn. Death was defeated. The king was alive. Light burst forth from the grave. The death could not hold him. The veil tore before him, and Christ silenced the boast of sin and the grave. The darkness tried to extinguish the light, but couldn't do it. But couldn't do it. Which means, number six, that the light is healing and hope in the darkness. I wonder if you know this. But light has healing property. Did you know that? That lady is having a red light therapy facial. Looks like a nice thing. Red light. This is Dr. Google, of course. So red light therapy is this, quote, "Red light therapy, for example, is a treatment that may help skin, muscle tissue, and other parts of your body heal. It uses low levels of red light to target your skin and cells. This may improve cell function and repair." And we're all off to the beauty parlor after Christmas, aren't we? But we do know, tell me afterwards whether that works, but we do know that, that exposure to natural light does have a healing property, doesn't it? You'll know this, if we go into natural light, our bodies will produce vitamin D. Apparently it improves circadian rhythms, sleep patterns, helps us to focus more, even makes us happier. Maybe we need to get out in the sun a little bit more. But the light, Jesus came to heal, came to restore, came to forgive, came to rescue by taking our darkness into Him, by absorbing our darkness and rising in resurrected light. You know, back to those kids that were rescued in 2018 in the Thailand cave, as those two British divers came up, and as the kids saw the light, there were two things. As they saw the light coming up out of the watery darkness, one, they knew that they were not forgotten, but number two, they knew suddenly that they had hope. They had hope. The light, Jesus, is healing and hope in the darkness. And look at these incredible words by Jesus Himself. In John 12:46, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. There's the healing and there's the hope. I've come into the world as a light so that the one who believes in me should not stay in darkness. The light shows us we're not alone in the darkness. The light shows us the way home in the darkness. The light illuminates the darkness around us and in us. So the darkness tried to extinguish the light, but the darkness could not do it. So the light becomes healing and hope in the darkness. And so finally, the light in the darkness. In the darkness of this world this morning, and in the darkness of your soul this morning, you can receive the light. You don't have to stay in the darkness. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Understand this morning, you simply do not need to stay in the darkness. Will you come into the light? If you haven't done so, will you come into the light? To come into the light means a few things. Number one, it means that you need to see the darkness in you. You need to see the darkness in the world. You need to see the darkness in you. You need to see that Jesus is the light that's come into the darkness. You need to see that Jesus has taken your darkness at the cross and risen in resurrected life to be your Savior and your Lord. We're not born into the light. We're born again into the light. We're born into darkness. And we have to personally receive the light of the world into the darkness of our souls. And I just want to give you an opportunity, a very simple opportunity to do that now this morning. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads with me. I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird. I'm not going to ask you to indicate anything. I just simply want you to bow your heads with me. And I'm going to pray a prayer where you receive the light, Jesus, and maybe just quietly. And You might pray this prayer for the very first time. You might actually pray this prayer for the first time that you really mean it. And I want to invite you to do that with me now. So bow your heads with me, and I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer that you can pray quietly in your heart as you're seated. Jesus, I want to receive you as my light. You are the light in my darkness. Jesus, I have so many questions, but I see enough light in you, and I'm going to trust you. I believe that you are the light from heaven come into the world of my darkness. You are enough light to see my way in the darkness and lead me home to the Father. I know, Jesus, I know right now that you are my way, you are my truth, and you are my life. Please, would you heal me? Please, would you rescue me? Please, would you save me? And please give me the hope of eternal life that you've promised. Amen. I would just love to hear from you afterwards if you prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time or the first time that you meant it. I'd love to just hear from you. And if you want to chat some more about it, I would love to talk to you.